This is a Mercies of God radio broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas, telling forth from God's inerrant, inspired, infallible, and irresistible word. The glad tidings that mercy from the Lord is a living reality. This is your radio pastor, Peter North, here speaking. We trust that you will listen carefully for the next half hour as we endeavor to set forth the good news of mercy and pardon from a holy and just God to a world of guilty and lost sinners. We trust you enjoyed that number, and now we ask if you will, you bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how we thank thee today that we have the precious privilege of setting forth thy truth as it is to men and women and boys and girls as they are. And we ask thy blessing upon this endeavor, that thou wilt give listening ears and attentive minds out there, and then, Lord, that you'll send thy word in might and power to unlock these hearts that need to know thee. Strengthen also the believers that are listening to this broadcast, and, Lord, cause them to rejoice in the truths that are set forth as you warm them to their individual hearts. But our Father, we pray, without thee we can do nothing, and so we ask thee, unctionize this endeavor, make it acceptable in thy sight, and then use it as a medium of thine to communicate the truth to the hearts and lives of those out there that thou hast caused to listen in. The glory is thine and the privilege is ours, and we'll just praise thee when we hear about it. We thank you for supplying the needs of the broadcast, and we ask, our Lord, that thou wilt continue to supply the needs as only thou art able, and that we wait upon thee for them. And we thank thee and praise thee for what shall transpire. But, Lord, most of all, glorify thyself in all that's said and done in this endeavor. We ask it now, Lord, for thy, in thy blessed name, and for thy sake we pray. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Little Rock, Arkansas. We're delighted to come into your homes at this hour by the means of radio. Some of you hear us in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night. But whenever it is that you listen to us, and we hope that many of you are, we count it a privilege to be a radio guest in your home. Now, this is something that you can do for us if you will. You can encourage our hearts. Number one, if you're on praying ground, we want you to pray for the broadcast. If you're not on praying ground, you're either in a backslidden condition or else you've never been born again. Because God's people do pray, they enjoy praying, and they love to pray. And I'll tell you something else. They feel left out if they don't spend time on their faces before the Lord in prayer. What a privilege it is to have a prayer time with the Lord, and we hope that you're in that number. So if you're on praying ground, you pray for us, if you will. The second thing you can do, you can tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast and give them the call letters to the stations to which you are listening, and then encourage them to listen in also so that they might receive a blessing as you are. The third thing we want you to do is drop us a letter or a card. This is the Mercies of God Association. Pastor Peter North here speaking to you, and we're delighted to come into your homes by the means of radio. But we need to hear from many of you, so we want you to drop us a letter or a card. My name is Pastor Peter Northier, or Northier. You can pronounce it either way, but we'd love to hear from you, so we'll be looking to hear from you this week. So don't disappoint us. Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to two passages of Scripture. The first one is found in Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 5 down through verse 8, and then the second one is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 through 10. Notice what it says, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Then in 1 John chapter 4, and we find in verses 7 through 10, the Word of God tells us again these marvelous truths. Listen to it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Our subject today, the gracious love of Christ. Today we shall again look at the love of Christ, and see its many ramifications, as well as its effect on those whom upon whom the Lord has poured out his love. My hope is that all of us will love the Lord a little better because of these messages, and will try to see that his love is shed abroad in our own hearts a little bit more effectively. Oh, if there's one thing we need in our Christian circles today, it's the love of God and the love of Christ and the love one for another. You see, we are commanded to love one another, and yet you find very clearly that churches today are at odds. People are at odds, preachers are at odds, deacons are at odds, the choir is at odds with each other, and there's everything but love in the church. And we find it's growing instead of it decreasing as it should be. The reason? The people today as a whole do not know what the love of Christ is all about. Now, our Lord has a peculiar kind of love. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read again, "For our God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in Romans 5:8 we read, "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now what kind of a love is this? It is a love called out of one's heart because of the preciousness of the object loved. I pointed that out to you the last couple of weeks. You see, God so loved your soul that it was a love for you that because of the preciousness of your soul. And our Lord thinks more of the soul of mankind than of the riches of this entire world. And he sums it all up where he says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Somebody out there has the idea that God doesn't love them. And my friend, I want to say to you very kindly, you just don't understand what we're talking about. All my hope is that something will be said in this time together that will cause you to see that our Lord has a love for you. Christ loved sinners. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then, this love is not only called out of one's heart because of the preciousness of the object loved, but it is a love which is self-sacrificing and devoted to the one who hates the person who does the loving. You see, Christ died for us. While we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now you think on that for a moment. It is a love which is self-sacrificing and devoted to the one who hates the person who does the loving. This is a particular kind of love that Christ has for us. Then the third thing about this particular kind of love is this. It is a love which prevails over every single obstacle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 we read, "Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth." And this is the love of Christ. It's a love which prevails over every single obstacle. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it doesn't make any difference who the sinner is or where the sinner is at this present hour. When God sets his love upon that sinner is going to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Now, how do you know? Because our Lord has decreed it to be so from before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 1, and we find verse 3 through 5, we read these words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Now, what in the world you have here? You have the absolute supremacy of God's love. It is a love which prevails over every single obstacle. I don't care who the sinner is, where the sinner is, what kind of a sinner that individual may be. When our Lord has set his love upon that person, rest assured of one thing. Eventually, and absolutely, positively, and graciously, and marvelously, that individual is going to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Have you ever read some of the songwriters of old who have written some of our great hymns? Have you ever read John Newton? John Newton was a slave trader, and he himself became a slave. And yet, later on, the Lord God of heaven reached down and delivered him, and he wrote that gracious song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, my friend, I don't care who the sinner is. If God's love is a love which prevails over every obstacle. My, what a particular kind of love our Lord has for us, and how we ought to rejoice in it from day to day. Now, our lesson has to do with the gracious love of Christ. Let's look at the peculiarities of Christ's love for just a moment. We have but three of them, and I hope we have the time where we can bring them out to you very clearly. First of all, the peculiarity of Christ's love is this. It is a love which manifested concern. Then, secondly, it is a love which was magnified by compassion. And thirdly, it is a love which was magnified in its completion. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, the peculiarities of Christ's love is this. It is a love which manifested concern. Take your Bibles now and turn with me to Luke chapter 19 and look with me at verse 45 down through verse 48. In Luke chapter 19 and beginning with verse 45, the Scripture says very clearly these words. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people, sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive unto him. Here you have the peculiarity of Christ's love. It is a love which manifested concern. First of all, it was interested in the purity of God's people, or of God's temple, I should say. You see, the temple was the dwelling place of God in the Old Testament, and we find when our Lord Jesus came on this earth, it was known by all the people of the world, and particularly by the Jews, as being God's dwelling place. God had that temple constructed, and we find God put His Shekinah glory there in the temple until they had become so wicked that He removed it. But in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was still recognized by the entire world as a place of God's, or a place of God. And therefore, God wanted it to be pure. But the people had turned it into a marketplace. There was bartering and selling and so on and so forth, and it was nothing but a stinking mess. And we find our Lord Jesus came in there, and He manifested concern for the purity of the temple and drove out all the money changers and them that sought, bought, and sold. But the peculiarity of Christ's love also involved not only the purity of God's temple, but the plight of the people who hungered. In Mark chapter 8, look with me, if you will, at verse 10, we read, And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily, I say unto you, there shall no sign be given to this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. Now what in the world are you talking about? Well, here you have in Mark chapter 8, our Lord Jesus is warning the disciples because of his love for them, of the perversion of the false doctrine with regard to the scribes and the Pharisees, and particularly the Herodians. And they thought at first he was talking about physical bread. He wasn't speaking about that. You see, our Lord has a love for his people, and we find very clearly that he's concerned about the perversion of false doctrine. Now, my friend, today, the same thing is going on at this present hour. The blessing of God does not rest upon those that preach false doctrine. The blessing of the devil does, but not the blessing of God. Because our Lord wants His people to be pure and holy and upright and stalwart and understanding and to be warriors before Him and to be students of the Word, because He tells us that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Then our Lord also has a love for the plight of the people who hungered. Again, Mark chapter 8, and we find in verse 1, we read, "In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far." And his disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" And he asked them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Now here you have the peculiarity of Christ's love. It concerned the purity of the temple. It concerns also the perversion of false doctrine. And then it concerned itself with the plight of the people who hungered. And I'll tell you right now, that's the way our churches ought to be at this present hour. Now the next thing about Christ's love is this. It was a love which was magnified by compassion. Take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 7. And look with me, if you will, verses 11 through 18. In Luke chapter 7, and verses 11 through 18 we read, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the city, or the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." Now here you have the compassion, magnified the love of Christ, which was magnified by his, or I should say, his compassion was magnified by his love. There was a raising up here of the widow's son. Then, in Mark chapter 8, and verses 9 through, or I should say, verse Mark chapter 9, I should say, and verse 14 down through verse 21, you have also the releasing of the demon-possessed individual, and how sad it is today. Oh, I would that the people of America would understand the demon possession that's becoming so prevalent across our nation. Instead of having psychiatrists and psychologists and counselors and everything like that, we need to have flaming evangelists who preach the truth of God and will set forth the truth as it is, and God will anoint it. And I'll tell you right now, these demon-possessed people will be healed, and they'll be done. It'll be done without all this gibberish that is going on today under the name of psychology and medicine. And we find our Lord Jesus did the same thing in his day. There was releasing of the demon-possessed individual. Then last of all, we find that our Lord also was concerned about what was going to happen to the city of Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, we read, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Notice, he came and wept over it, and that means he his heart was rent because of the sobbing, or I should say his body was rent with sobs because of the breaking of his heart over the destiny of Jerusalem that was going to come upon them. You see, here we find the Lord God of Heaven's particularity of his love. It is certainly a peculiar love, isn't it? But no, my friend, it isn't. That's the kind of love that our Lord has for us and wants us to be to manifest like him. Last of all, we find that the love of Christ was magnified in its completion. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I only have the time to mention it. And we find very clearly in John 17, he prayed for the salvation of his elect. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, he said. And in John 17, he prayed for them. Then, and while he was on the cross, he pleaded for his enemies, as he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He provided a home for his mother, and also on the cross, He plucked his soul from the jaws of hell, and last of all on the cross, he prevailed over all his enemies. Now, this is the gracious love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is for God to love you, my friend? Oh, we love him because he first loved us. And I want to tell you very clearly in this closing moment, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to place his love upon you and to bring you to a saving knowledge of himself. You see, he doesn't have to, but he delights to save sinners because he still loves sinners, and he died for sinners. He died for sinners, and we find very clearly that included us. Now, in this closing moment, you seek the Lord while he may be found. Oh, I hope and pray that you'll find him. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.